Well, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus once again. Exodus, and today we come to chapter 6, verse 28. Now, if you have an old Schofield, it's on about 77. Those little sheets I handed out, as you go through all of these plagues that happen, really and truly, and I know we've looked at this, it's been quite a few years ago that we went through Exodus, but much of what God brings these plagues on them are really against some of the gods that these people in Egypt serve. And he's really trying to prove very clearly that he's the only living and true God as we go through that. And those sheets, they're two different ones. They're speaking of the same thing, but they may be a little help. It came out of one of the commentaries that I have that I brought out there. But let me read in chapter number 6, verses 28 to 30. And bear with me again. There's a lot of reading here that I read this, and I know it. Last time I didn't read all these verses, but I felt that I maybe should bring it out a little clearer. But chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 28 to 30. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for their country. We pray for so many people going through difficult times with the hurricanes that have come in. And we think about even not very far from us in East Tennessee, Lord, and also in West New North Carolina. Those folks are going through a lot of difficulty, as well as Florida and Georgia and so many states down through the way. We just pray that you'll be with us as we look into thy words, speak to our hearts, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, the contest and the first three plagues, Exodus 6, verse 28 through chapter 8, verse 19. In chapter 6, verse 28 to chapter 7, verse 13, the rod and the snake. And you know, we've already seen how God demonstrated that to Moses, you know, about the rod and becoming a snake. In chapter 7, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 25, the water turned to blood. Now, of course, this is the first plague. That first one really is really just a demonstration of God's power. But this has a plague with it. In chapter 8, verses 1 through chapter 8, verse 15, frogs everywhere. The second plague. And then in chapter 8, 16 through chapter 8, 19 is the dust to lice. And of course, that will be the third plague. Now, the next few weeks, we'll be studying these. And of course, if you think back, if you were raised in a church, if you were saved later in life, you probably may not have had this. But if you were raised in church, you can think of these stories. And I'm sure that you see those little, what do you call them, Mom? On the wall. You know the little dials there that you put on the wall? Flannelgraph. Well, okay. That left me. But if you can probably remember the flannelgraph. Well, I don't have flannelgraph, and I hope I can explain. Huh? Well, yeah. Next time we'll have that, and she'll come up here and put that up for you. But anyway, you probably remember that in Sunday school class or in Bible school. A lot of times they would have this, the plagues and Moses and all. And, of course, you would think back to that. But, you know, the next few weeks we'll be seeing 10 plagues. And as you view the plagues, we really see a judgment upon the, first of all, the gods that these people worship. Those little sheets kind of cover a little of that, some of the gods that these people worship. We're told the Egyptians worship almost 80 different gods, and these plagues were attacked. These plagues are attacking different gods by the worship. There are surely several reasons for the miracles and plagues. First of all, God is forcing Egypt to allow Israel to go. Secondly, God is judging the gods of Egypt. And thirdly, God is proving to the Israelites, as well as the Egyptians, as really well as all the world, that he is the only living and true God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 1 through 9, Ezekiel brings out the fact that many of these people, the Israelis, had begun to follow some of their gods. Now let's look at this. We read those first few verses, chapter 6, verse 28 to 30. Pharaoh won't listen, is what Moses is saying. And once again, you see Moses, I can't speak. Pharaoh won't listen to me. It may be the time in the desert, and of course, remember how he was filled with pride after the school there in Egypt. But after 40 years on the backside of the desert, he kind of humbled himself a little more too. He sees the delay, and of course, this is all in God's timing, as we mentioned in the last two lessons, that really as important as knowing God's will is knowing God's timing that he has for that will. But as we said in the introduction, God has several reasons for the miracles and the plagues, and it will take time. God's promises are sure, but God's timing is also a part of it. Now notice and bear with me, chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be my prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hands upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, which I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, and they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, To take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, of course, he demonstrated this before, to really before they had gone the first time. And of course, as you look at these first nine verses, you shall go and be, but he will not hearken to you. God is always warning him about. He won't listen as of yet. You will be a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet. Aaron will be the one to take the words that I give you to Pharaoh. And once again, we see, as we saw in verse chapter 3 and 4, that I will harden Pharaoh's heart. You know, throughout this, it says sometimes God hardens his heart. Sometimes it says that he hardens his own heart. Really and truly, I think what you see here, God brings a decision that Pharaoh has to make. And of course, he doesn't want to make it. Now, it's not that he wants to release the people of Israel and God won't let him. That's not the fact. But he doesn't want to let them go. And as he says no, no, no to God, he's hardening his own heart as he does this. And of course, that's how so many people who don't know the Lord, as he put it, off and off and off. And before long, they just harden their heart. And before long, they don't even feel the pricking of their conscience of the Holy Spirit working in their life. Now, he wants his will done, not God's will. Now, in verse 5, it gives us two of God's reasons for the miracles and the plagues. The Egyptians will know that I am God and to deliver the children of Israel. Now in verses 6 through 9, Moses and Aaron obey the Lord and go again to Pharaoh. We also learn that Moses is 80 years old and 83 is how old his brother is. Man, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Don't worry. It'll come if we live that long. But now notice verses 10 through 13. And Moses and Aaron went up into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did it in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, as you read those, just as before, as we saw in the earlier lessons, when God used this as an illustration to Moses, and when he laid the snake down, laid the rod down, it became a snake, back in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And, of course, remember his reaction. When that happened, Moses kind of ran away. Now, it doesn't mention whether it happened here. It might have happened here with some of them. But Pharaoh's wise men are Satan-controlled, and they're trying to imitate the miracles of God. Now, the thing to think about, is this a trick or is it real? Now, I can't be dogmatic. I do know that Satan has certain power. But I know maybe sometimes some of these miracles, maybe God's allowing them to happen for them to demonstrate it. But we'll see in the end of this message today that the magicians knew that there was something else there too. But we do know, as we studied through Revelation, in Revelation 13, how the Antichrist and the false prophet, how they call down from heaven and they use miracles, and of course to deceive the people. Now another thing to bring out, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, there's a verse, and let me read these two verses, verse 8 and 9. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Now many have thought, and it may very well be true, that what is quoted there in 2 Timothy 3:8 may be two of these men. Many have thought that that is really what it's saying. It may be these men, two of these men that were mentioned there that Paul mentions. Pharaoh's heart was hardened as he rejects the will of the God once again. And also the snakes, especially the cobras, were really one of the things that they worship, was one of their gods that they worship. Now, notice as you think of this, and of course we know as we see in verses 14 through 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river banks. Against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of heaven hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hither thou wouldest not hear. This saith the Lord, in thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thy hand upon the water, and the river shall turn to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river they shall stink. And of course, as you think of this, as we think also, that really, when they put down the rod, it becomes a snake, of course, as I mentioned earlier. But I forgot to mention, too, that really, they also put down their rod, and they become a snake. But you know what happens is the snake that came from Aaron's rod ate the snakes that came from the false prophets and the magician's rod. Now notice also, as you think of this, Satan may have a magic power, But you know, this is really Satan. As you know, that's one thing, as you remember, we talked about in Sunday school. I often wonder, I heard a preacher on TV talking about the devil. And right now, I got to be honest with you. I don't feel real good, and I had to kind of push myself to come. I think it's really from us having all the animals in the house and babysitting for them, and I'm breathing all of that. But, you know, I remember that preacher saying he always hated to talk about Satan, because when you talk about Satan, he usually tries to cause problems. But, you know, there's one thing as you and I as a Christian, we know that our God is greater than all that Satan has. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than he of the world. And, of course, Pharaoh is really not wanting to let the children of Israel go, as said before. Now, notice in verses 14 through 18, and the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee in the morning, and of course I just read that to get thee in the morning, and of course as he goes down, get thee in the morning, Pharaoh in the morning, and in he goeth out unto the waters, and thou shalt stand by the river. And of course another fact will come that they will see another plague that will happen. Now notice next, the water to blood, the first plague, and the second miracle. Notice God sends them to the Nile River where Pharaoh was, verse 16. And God warns Moses that he will not heed the call to the people. Now notice, and once again, bear with me, 19 through 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Pharaoh, unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels and of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and lifted up the rod and smote the waters that they were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the water that were in the river turned to blood, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into the house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. And the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that Pharaoh had, as the Lord had smitten the river. Now, as you look at this, we see in verse 20, before Pharaoh and his servants, they smote the water. And, of course, the water became blood. In verse 19, it also affected some of the stored water they had. The fish died, and the river began to stink. And the Egyptians could not drink. The magicians of Egypt, they were able to duplicate this. Now, as I said before, is this the power of Satan, or is God allowing it? I don't know for sure, but we do know that Satan has a lot of power. Now, in verse 24, from springs to wells below the ground, evidently, they were able to take water to duplicate this. Once again, Pharaoh rejects the plea, and he hardens his heart more, rejecting God's command to let the people go, just as now many do, as they continue to reject God's way of salvation. The Egyptians had to dig wells to get drinking water. Now, the Nile was considered very sacred to them. In fact, they worshiped some of those gods that they claimed that was attached to this river. And of course the Nile, one goddess of the river, and one was a guardian of the river. And this lasted for 7 days. The magicians duplicated it, is a small extent of this, but they could not reverse it. That's the one thing. They can't reverse it. Now notice next, thirdly, the frogs everywhere. You know, if you like frogs, by this time you wouldn't like frogs, I'm sure. But notice the frogs were something they worshiped too. Now notice verses 1 through 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now, the second plague, and also in verse 3 through 8 too. And the river shall bring forth frogs, and abundant, which shall go up and come into the house, and in thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and in thy ovens, and in thy kneeling throngs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with the rod over the stream, over the river, and over the pond, and I cause frogs to come up upon the land. And Aaron stretched forth his hand, and the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses, and Aaron, for he said, entreat the Lord that if he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, the second plague. After the 7 days, God caused Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh and to say once again, let my people go. But we do know that he's going to refuse it. But let my people go. And of course, as you think of the frogs were really one of the goddesses, and you'll see that on that sheet there, one of the goddesses that they had of the frogs, it was one that was pictured with a head of a frog known as Hojit, who had a frog head, and they would not kill them. You know, that's what made it so bad. They were looking to these frogs as some of their gods. Verse 3, they will be in your house, in your beds, in your kitchen, and also in your servants' rooms too. Now you think if you get mosquito in the house, it's bad. But think if you got all these frogs. Now in verses 5 and 6, he evidently refused, and God spoke that Aaron was to take the rod over the stream of the river and the ponds. The magicians, of course, duplicated the plague, but only what they did is really add to the problem. I don't know how many frogs they added, but it did add to the problem, of course. Now notice in verses 9 through 14, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy house, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died, and the house in out of the frogs died out of the houses, out of the village, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and they stink. You know, as you read those, you see it's true, and you must ask yourself, is this true repentance of Pharaoh saying, take the frogs away and I'll let them go? Is he really going to honor his promise? You often see the same thing in the hospital. You'll see somebody that goes to the hospital. They may be a Christian, maybe they're not. And oh, they say, oh Lord, if you just get me out of the hospital, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And you know what happens? They get out and they may come to church a few weeks, but then all of a sudden they disappear. You know, it's the same thing Pharaoh. He's trying to play it with both sides. But once again, as you look at this, a lot of folks, and I know that a lot of people you see in jail, you may see someone in jail and they say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I have to wonder, what are you sorry about? Are you sorry because you did the crime? Or are you sorry because you got caught? And that's what a lot of people are too. A lot of folks, just like Pharaoh here. Now the magicians, they could duplicate it, but they could not remove them. They couldn't dispose of them in that respect. And probably they wouldn't, because it was something they worshiped. I wonder if some of the magicians were beginning to be amazed themselves. How in the world are we doing this? You know, but I do know that Satan does have power. Notice verse 9 and 10 there that we read. Moses asked Pharaoh when I should entreat the Lord to destroy the frogs. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Maybe Pharaoh was hoping that really they would be gone and they wouldn't have to honor the promise or wouldn't have to think that God took care of them. Now in verses 12 to 13, Moses prayed and God destroyed the frogs and they gathered them on the heap and they stank. Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or delay, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now Pharaoh, once again, he's hardening his own heart. He saw the problem solved, and he just thought, well, I'll just forget about my promise. You see this, as said before, so many, when people have problems and cry out to God and get relief, and they make promises, but do they keep those promises? As Pharaoh, maybe like. You also see it before Pharaoh when he just says no and he rejects God's will for your own, and he hardened his own heart. You know, I've said this before. You see that oftentimes when someone hears the gospel, someone maybe you're praying for. And of course, as they hear the gospel and as they say no, 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 they harden their own heart to it. There comes a time that, you know, it just doesn't even faze them. You know, I've heard the illustration often, it's like wax. If you stick wax in the sun, at first it gets real soft. But if you leave it in the sun, it'll get hard as leather. And I'm afraid that's like a lot of people. And a lot of people just like Pharaoh too. But a lot of people who really harden their own heart to the things of God. But let me ask you, if you are here and God has been speaking to your heart and you have said no, 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 let me warn you, don't push the long-suffering of God. Warren Wiersbe says, to harden your heart means to see clearly evidence of the hand of God at work and still refuse to accept his word and submit to his will. Pharaoh hardened his heart against the mercy that God had shown him, removing the frogs. Clearly, he could see who is the living and true God through this. But notice once again, another plague, dust to lice, in verses chapter 8, verse 16 through 19. Notice in verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the third verse 17, and they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with the rod and smote the dust and the earth, and it became lice in man and in the beast and all the dust of the land before became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, as you think of this, the ground could speak of one of the gods that they worship was a god of the desert. Set was the name that the Egyptians worship. We are told the word used here to describe could describe lice and gnats and several other different problems that people have with certain animals or certain insects and all. And of course that would come on the people. And this would really, it would be all over the people as well as the animal. Now this plague, as verses the sixth one and the ninth one, they happen without any warning. Up to this point, God has warned him. But it may have been because he didn't keep his word on the previous one. We're told the priests of Egypt prided themselves in their purity and their cleanliness, yet they would find themselves polluted as well as the beast of the land with these lice and all that would be on all of them. Look at verse 18. And the magicians did so with the enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not do so. There were lice upon men and upon the beast. Now, here we're coming now that they can't duplicate it. This should tell you that their gods are not to match, not any match at all for God. Satan can imitate, but he cannot duplicate the things of God. There is one thing. Satan is a created being. He's not the creator. Now notice verse 19. Now listen to this. And the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, as he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Now they... And that's one reason I wonder if some of these miracles, maybe God was allowing them to happen, because at this point they realized God's finger is on this. Now, they realized that, and they tried to share that with Pharaoh. This is not some kind of faith, but a realization that God of the Jews is greater than their God. I would hope it would be salvation, but I don't believe that's what it is. They're just saying, realizing the God of Egypt is no match for the God of Israel. But as Pharaoh had hardened his heart against God, he would not believe his own magicians, the occult. Satan can only go so far. God permitted Satan and the demonic powers to perform certain supernatural phenomena, but they are limited to the sovereignty of God. But you know, as you think of this, I apologize for all the reading I had to do there, and I hope I went clearly with it. But you know, in conclusion, we have looked at the first three plagues, and as we continue on the next time, they will get more severe. God has several reasons for all of this taking place to realize the Jews, to release them from their bondage. He is also judging the gods of Egypt that they worship. And nothing can really stand next to our God. And that's really one reason why God's allowing this to last out. And you know, not only that, as we study today, we know a lot of people that have a lot of different gods. But we know our living and true God. He's the only God. He's the living God. And of course, I would say, and I know those that are here today profess to know Christ as their Savior, but if there happens to be someone listening on the internet, do you know Christ as your Savior? Won't you come to Him today? Maybe there's some that may be believers and maybe not living for the Lord. And you know, you can harden your heart as a Christian, and maybe God's trying to get you to do something or to follow Him. Or especially as you think of an unsaved person, hardening your heart against the Lord as you hear the gospel. Much of our trouble is man's love for their sin. You know, it has to be one of the biggest things that keeps people from going and trusting Christ as their Savior. They love their old life of sin. They don't want a new life in Christ. But how they need a new life in Christ. And believers, are we living for the Lord? Are we the testimony that we should be for those around us? They're the only ones, and those around us, we may be the only one that knows Christ that could share him with us. But as we go along, as we thaw through this, God's going to prove very clearly to Pharaoh, as well as all of Egypt, and of course, I would hope it to be to people today too as they read through this, that our God is the living and true God and the only one. You know, we always like to share the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, that's the first thing you have to realize. You're a sinner. You have a need. You know, there's so many religions today. They're working their way to heaven. They're working their way. They're doing good deeds. They're giving money to certain groups and all of that and think they'll work their way to heaven. But friend, if we could work our way to heaven, why did God send his son? He sent his son because we can't work our way to heaven. We're just sinners. The first thing you have to realize is that you're a sinner. And of course, John 3:16 brings the truth out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you come to that place to realize, oh Lord, there's nothing I can do, but I know you paid the price on the cross. You came, you died on that cross for me, you were buried, you rose again. I can't save myself, but I put my whole trust in you and what you did. Come into my heart and save me. Change me. He'll do it. He'll do it. Let's bow our head just for a moment. If you're hearing, maybe God's speaking to your heart about something. If I can pray with you and help you, I'd love to do that. Or maybe right now, just spend a few moments. We as Christians, you know, we see around this old world that we live in, and you see people just like what we're talking about, these Egyptians, worshiping all of these gods and something to that extent. But thank the Lord, we know the living and true God. And let us be true and sharing that message with others.